We're going to continue in this same line of study in this session. And let's read our foundation scripture from the book of Isaiah once more, 54th chapter, 14th verse. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, far from terror, for it shall not come near thee. They'll surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Now let's read the 16th and 17th verses, and this is still referring to oppression, to fear, and to terror. They, the oppression, fear, and terror, shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. So the things that are coming against us are not from God, are they? No. He said, in righteousness you shall be established. And that's what's happening here in teaching and training and walking and confessing and fixing our minds on who we are in the righteousness of God. We're establishing ourselves and renewing our minds to that fact. We are not becoming the righteousness of God. We're finding out who we already are. Amen. That's so important. Now, I want you to notice this. Behold, I have created the smith that blows the coals in the fire and bringeth forth an instrument for his work. Now, let's reword that just a little bit for illustration purposes. Now, notice this. I created the smith that pumps up the fire of oppression, terror, and fear. See, he's still talking about that. He said, they'll gather together, but they don't come from me. Well, from whom do they come? They come from the devil. He is the spirit of fear. Amen. He is the tormentor. Fear hath torment. He is the one that brings terror. And in the 10th chapter of Acts, it said Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So he is the oppressor. Now, God said, I created him and I will be responsible for him. Now you have to understand, when this was written and prophesied, Jesus had not yet gone to the cross. See? This is prophesied on the basis of Isaiah 53, where it's prophesying about Jesus going to the cross. Well, we know that when Jesus did that, during that 3 days and nights between the cross and the throne, he totally defeated Satan and removed from him all his equipment and armor that he had trusted on, that he stole from Adam. Jesus defeated him, took it from him. All right. He defeated terror. He defeated fear. And he defeated oppression. How did he defeat that? He defeated it with the righteousness of God. The free gift that he gave you and me. How do we know that? Well, in the book of Isaiah, it said God saw that he had no intercessor, and his right arm put on the full armor, the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, the very same armor that is listed in the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians. Wherefore, brethren, take unto you the full armor of God. Amen. That same armor was the armor that Jesus used to defeat Satan. And the breastplate is the breastplate of righteousness. Amen. Now, notice here, He said, I created the smith that blows the coal in the fire and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. I have created the waster. Now, in the King James translation, the word to destroy is there. God didn't create him to destroy anything. He created the waster that destroys. Because the Bible says that he was created, he was perfect in the day that he was created. And then iniquity or destruction was found in him. Amen. So God didn't create him so he'd have somebody to destroy. If God wants something destroyed, he'll do his own destroying. You understand? He don't need help. The devil doesn't work for God. He's self-employed. He don't work for anybody. I've heard it preached that God has a long leash on the devil and he uses him to correct and so forth, and he'll only let him go so far and then, and then reel him in. That's totally unscriptural. Of course, the people get that out of the book of Job. The book of Job doesn't say that, but they derive that from the book of Job, not understanding how the book of Job works. Mainly not understanding faith and how faith works, then if you don't understand how faith works, you don't understand how Job got into that mess he got into. In the first place, he yielded to fear. And when the devil came to God, the devil tried to get God to put his hand on Job. And God refused. God said, no, I'm not going to do that. See? Now, I want you to notice what he did say. And this is the key scripture to the book of Job. And you can go back and read it for yourself later. The word behold. Look, see, and understand. Satan said, there is a hedge about him. You put forth your hand. And you can see what's working in Satan's mind. There's a hedge around him. Satan can't see that hedge. Now, I want you to get this now. He couldn't see it. It was a force field that he knew was there because every time he got up there, man, I mean, he couldn't get to him. He couldn't get through to him. There was a field of energy and power around this man and his family and so forth. And he get up there and he said, you got a hedge around him. He couldn't see the thing. He didn't know when it was there and when it wasn't there. Don't get the idea the devil's all that smart. Anybody that try to overthrow God's got to be dumb, man. You got to be the dumbest thing on the block. And he kept running up against that. So he goes to God and said, put forth your hand. In other words, take that hedge down and knock him in the head. Now I bet you he'll turn against you. And God wouldn't do it. He said, no. But now God's not going to lie for you or Job or me or anybody else. And God said, now listen to this. Behold, he is in your power. God didn't give him power over him. He already had it and didn't know it. The hedge was down and he didn't know that. Well, how did the hedge go down? Here's where you have to know something about faith. And for you see one clue in it when Job said, that which I so greatly feared has come upon me. Now, for one thing we know for sure, he never broke faith with his covenant with God for his life. Because God told the devil, he said, You put your hand on him. Don't you touch his life. Don't you touch his life. I mean, Job still believed in God for his life. You can see that in what Job said, too. He said, I don't care if I do die in it. Even God, if you kill me, I'll serve you. Amen. I mean, he didn't turn loose of that, see. Now, where did he mess up? Now, here's where you come together with righteousness by faith. Righteousness by works. Are you listening now? He made sacrifice for his children's sin He was so afraid that his children were going to sin that he made the same sacrifice, the scripture said, for their sin continually. Continually. Now, he's trying to work his righteousness in this sacrifice. He's afraid they're going to sin. He's not believing God. He should have made that sacrifice and said, that's done, and I just want to praise you now and thank you that my children are protected. Everything is working all right, and the hedge would have still been up. But he tried to work this thing out by making the same sacrifice over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And by doing so, he wrecked and tore down that field that was around him that had been put there by faith in his covenant with God. Now you beginning to get some insight into it? And when he rose up and said, all right, that's enough of that. Now, you know, he had a lot of good help. I mean, there were some folks come around and my, some of the strange stuff they told him. But finally, God said, that's enough out of you boys. I mean, God spoke to him and said, I've heard all this I want to hear. They were telling Job how God had done this to him. And so God said, that's all that I want to hear. And the only way you're going to get forgiven is if my servant Job will make a sacrifice for you. Now, when he entered into that sacrifice before God for someone else, he entered into that by faith. And you know what happened? Whoa, the shield went right back up. Satan lost out on everything he's trying to do. And God not only healed the man, he doubled him. Praise God. He got richer than he'd ever been. He got more well than he'd ever been. He got stronger than he'd ever been. He got more land than he ever had. He got more of everything. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now then, let's go back here and look at this. No weapon. You go analyze, do a study, go through the New Testament particularly. Do a study on Satan's operation, the way he works. I can tell you this, Captain Downing, you being in the military, and you go study all of the military regimes that have attacked and caused war and see what the root of their operation is. Fear, terror, and oppression. Every one of them was an oppressive government. You know what's wrong with communism? It oppresses the people that live under it. Mm-hmm. You know what's wrong with fascism? It oppresses the people that live under it. You know what's wrong with Nazism? It oppresses the people that live under it. You know what was wrong with Romanism? It oppressed the people that live under it. And they ruled by fear. I don't care what the devil does, sickness, disease. The Bible said Jesus healed all that were oppressed of the devil. You'll not be oppressed because you're far from fear. Fear opens the door to oppression.
That's right.
Fear of death makes you subject to bondage. We found that last night in the book of Hebrews. Now, when you see, I don't care. You look up everything that the devil's ever done. Look up everything that bad governments have ever done. I mean, you look them all up, and it's made up of oppression, fear, and terror.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. That's what it's made up from. Right. Now then, glory to God. You ready to shout?
Amen.
No weapon.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woo, shout, no weapon.
No weapon.
Now, this is the result of having your mind renewed and becoming established in the fact that you're the righteousness of God. When you begin to think that way, you begin to move that way, you begin to function like that. the devil comes on you and you begin to realize, I'll tell you one thing, Mr. Devil, you ain't got no right to do this. You don't have any rights against me. I am right and you are wrong. I am the righteousness of God. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. You know that little voice that runs around in your mind all the time? Your thinking voice and the one that talks to you all the time? Did you notice when Jesus walked up to the fig tree in Mark 11 and said, no man eat fruit of you again forever? Did you notice that the Bible said Jesus answered the fig tree? And say he said to the fig tree. It said he answered the fig tree. There was a voice to that fig tree. That fig tree said, you ain't got nothing to eat this morning. I don't care if you are the Son of God. Wow. Jesus said, no man eat fruit of you again forever. Now you notice he didn't go through a big rigmarole of stuff. Oh, I'll tell you something, fig tree. I'm coming to you. It ain't no 20 minutes to work up some kind of tree killing faith. He knew who he was. Righteousness spoke and the thing dried up from the roots. This is not just the Son of God speaking. This is not just Jesus speaking. This is the voice of righteousness. He's right with God. He's in God. When you're right, the power's there. When you're wrong is when the power's gone. As long as Adam was right, he had as much power as God. Why? It was the power of God. But when something became wrong, no longer right, the power left. Literally killed his spirit. It took the righteousness out of it. When you find out who you've been connected to all this time, and you are the righteousness of God, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue, that little tongue on the inside that says, this is cancer and we're going to kill you. You ain't never going to get it. You're not going to get out of debt. It ain't going to work for you. It might work for Creflo. It might work for Jesse. It might work for Jerry. It might work for Kenneth. It might work for Brother Robert. It ain't going to work for you. Who do you think you are? Wake you up in the middle of the night. It's not working. Condemn that voice. So you shut up talking to me like that. Who do you think you're talking to? I happen to be the righteousness of God here. I say what we think. I say what we say. I make the decisions here. Trees don't make my decision. Sickness doesn't make my decision. The devil doesn't make my decision. God Almighty has made my decisions. And I'm telling you, I'm the righteousness of God. Shut your mouth now. Right now. Amen. Well, shout about it. Glory to God. Now then, let's go over into the New Testament. First of all, in 2 Corinthians. Then we're going to come back to the book of Romans. 2 Corinthians 5. My children found out they were the righteousness of God along while they were finding out everything else about their lives. They've never known anything else. They never had to unlearn anything. And they would defeat the things of the devil when they're just little children. John come running. The next door neighbor's boys were over at the house playing. They all little old kids. And they come running in there. John said, come on, Daddy, quick. Come pray, come pray. This little boy had hurt his finger on the swing set. And so he's standing out there just squalling and had his finger stuck straight up like this. And he's crying and hollering. And of course, John, here come John and Kelly to get me to pray. Come pray, Daddy, quick. Come pray, come pray. Well, I walked out there and this boy got his finger stuck up in the air like that. And I reached over there and grabbed that finger. And I said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I rebuke the pain in this finger. You be gone. His eyes got big. He looked at me. He still got his finger stuck up here like that. And he said, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. He was in shock. He had never heard anything like that. I said, is that right? Yes, sir. I said, does your finger still hurt? I got to go home and see Mama. He was totally astonished. But his finger was healed. See the difference between the two? Now, later on, that family came to God in such a powerful way that she came over next door witnessing to me. I couldn't get a word in edgewise. Amen. But at that point, that little fellow never heard anything about prayer. He'd never been prayed for. What would he know about the righteousness of God? Well, growing up like that, the older he got, the more of an instrument against it he would be when he heard it. Because when he saw righteousness in action, he labeled it as the dumbest thing he ever heard. And he wasn't but about 5 years old. See, he was already being conditioned by the devil to resist and fight against anything that was the righteousness of God. It's a weapon. No weapon. Oh, glory to God. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you, you'll condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith God. In other words, God said, I said you're righteous. Now, anything that says you're not, you tell them what I said. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? I don't care whether you feel like the righteousness of God. And when you first find out about it, if you're laying hold of it and saying, I'm the righteousness of God, and your knees are knocking together the whole time you're saying it, that's all right. God said you're the righteousness of God, and that's all the information you need about it. That's who you are and what you are. Amen.
Vielen Dank, liebe Partner und Freunde, dass Sie die Ausstrahlung dieser Sendung in Ihrem Land ermöglichten. Wenn Sie mehr über Kenneth Copeland Ministries erfahren wollen, Gebetsanliegen oder Ihr Zeugnis weitergeben und glaubensstärkende Produkte finden möchten, besuchen Sie kcm-de.org oder wählen Sie 07621 422 2861. Denken Sie bis zum nächsten Mal daran, Gott liebt Sie und Jesus ist Herr.